You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. Exciting time of the year, less than a week away from the NFL draft. Got the NBA and the NHL playoffs beginning in full tomorrow. NBA playoffs kind of sort of underway with the play-ins. Kind of, sort of. But to me, this is what I love as many things, obviously, because we're big into sports on this show, after all. But I love the fact, Mark, that the best team in the regular season hardly ever wins the title in our four major team sports, if you really think about it. I mean, who was the best team in hockey last year? It was the Bruins.
Right. How'd they do?
In the first round. In fact, apparently the best team in the NHL, regular season team in the NHL, hasn't gotten past the second round in the last 8 years. So that doesn't bode well for my Rangers, who finished with the most points. And I don't think the Rangers are getting past the second round, by the way. But, I mean, this past year in football, who had the best record? Ravens. You know, we can play this game out. Very rarely does the team with the best record win the championship in the four major sports. It's happened like six times in the NBA, by the way, this century.
Yeah, the NBA quit caring this century about regular season records. They care about the MVP, but first overall means nothing to them.
You know, the Warriors did it twice. You know, during their run that they had in the middle of last decade. You know, twice they had the best record and they won the title. But their best team with the 73-win team got beat in the finals. It's only happened six times in the NBA since 2001 that the team with the best record wins the title. So if I gave you the Celtics or the field right now,
I would have taken the field anyhow, not knowing that information.
Okay. I mean, based on the last 23, 24 seasons, three quarters of the time, the field wins. In hockey, I mean, what, three times in the last 20 years, the President's Trophy team? I mean, I think one of the Blackhawks titles was a President's Trophy team. And I don't know, it's tough to remember another President's Trophy winner. Did the Wings in one of their 2000 titles, 02, 08, were they the President's Trophy winner? I mean, I think it's only like three times this century that the President's Trophy winner has won the title in the NHL. You know, we can do this in the World Series. I mean, the, you know, Dodgers and Braves. I mean, Dodgers won the World Series once in 30 years. The Braves have just had two dominant teams that have lost in the division round of the Phillies back to back. The team that won the World Series snuck in with like 90 wins. So here we are. We're about to begin the NBA and the NHL playoffs. We just had it happen to us in the NFL playoffs. I mean, the Chiefs were a three seed. I mean, you know, all the cliches, you know, sometimes they become cliches because they're true. It's a totally different deal, the playoffs and the regular season. Totally. It is remarkable to me, Mark. I don't know if those numbers seem low to you. I was surprised how infrequently the so-called best team in the regular season doesn't win the championship.
Yeah, because it just in my head, I would think in basketball it would have meant so much, but in the last 6 to 8 years with load management, the way that they handle their roster heading into the playoffs and more about being healthy for the playoffs and worrying about... We've talked about this for a while, though, David. You actually, if you think about it, on this show we've been bringing up for a long time, long before this act started, of home court, ice, field advantage doesn't exist anymore. And
college basketball, it's the only place that we think home court still exists. Otherwise, field, ice, court, we don't think it exists in professional sports. And we felt, you're right, Mark. We have felt that way for damn near a generation, almost from the time you and I joined forces 18 years ago to do a show. We thought there was enough evidence then, never mind since.
And in college hoop, they don't get home court in the postseason.
Right. But it happens infrequently in college basketball, too, if you want to count that as a major sport. I mean, that's what South Carolina women and UConn men just did is the exception. The overall number one seed doesn't win the title in a six-game tournament. Six-game, not 2 months, not you need 16 wins or however many. No. Six, and they don't get it done. Far more often than not. So, you know, here we are. Hockey and basketball. Celtics and Rangers. If the poll question was, the Celtics and Rangers had the best records in the NBA and NHL respectively, how many of them win the title? Zero, one, or two? What would your answer be?
Zero. And without hesitation, zero. Because like you, and I know you follow the Rangers a lot more closely than I do, but there's never been a time this year that I thought they were the best team in the East, let alone the best team in the game.
Right.
And the Celtics are dominating a conference that's not very good this year. I think they're going to get to the final. But I don't think they're going to win the final. And I'd give the Celtics a whole lot better shot than I'd give the Rangers.
Well, totally. In fact, I got to be honest, the Celtics are getting a great draw. I mean, think about it. They're going to get the Heat or the Bulls in the first round, and then they don't reseed in the NBA. So they're going to get the Cavs or the Magic in the second round. I mean, come on. And if, and I don't think any one of them, but if there's a team in the East that we think might be able to give the Celtics a series, it would probably be one of the three teams to mention. The Bucks, the Sixers, or the Knicks. Well, they're all on the same side of the draw. So, I mean, the Celtics have as clean a run to the finals as really you can have in the NBA.
The Bucks might not get out of the first round. The Knicks are injured.
Well, and they're playing the Sixers. I mean, so two of the three teams might not get out of the first round. Right.
And now all the talk is that Embiid is hurt again, playing through injury. One game, and apparently he's shot.
Well, he landed awkwardly in the second-to-last regular season game, so I guess they're saying maybe re-aggravated it. But I don't know. He's still at 23-15 on a bad leg. I mean, this just in. 1.5 legs. He's better than any center guarding him in the East, I'll tell you that. I mean, might need him for Denver, but otherwise I don't see anybody else handling him one-on-one. In the East. But just wanted to throw that out there. Here we are, you know, the 2 month, you know, rigmarole that's about to start in the NBA and the NHL. And basically, yeah, the history says, Rangers and Celtics are not winning their respective championships. Not even the Celtics. Who is the best team in basketball this year? It wasn't close. They've got as easy a run through a conference as a team has had in 40 years, quite frankly. I mean, this is like the Lakers in the 80s through the West, how clean this run is for the Celtics this year to get to the NBA Finals. But history says they ain't going to win it. And remember, they haven't won in 16 years. They're getting a little ornery up there. All the other teams have won titles. So, you know, Bruins titles in 2011. you know, Boston sports fans like, hey, come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah, we know you have the most, but
get with the program.
It's been a while.
Right. So, you know, just keep that in mind. And that's why when we're picking, or if you're making picks on, you know, the NBA, I mean, put it this way, Mark, do you think what has a bigger advantage? Home court in the NBA, home ice in hockey?
I think home court in the NBA. I do.
Even though we think it doesn't really exist.
But the familiarity with the arena shooting, to me, would make a difference. The hockey rink, they're 200 by 85. It's the same net. The boards are now all so similar. You don't go to a place like Joe Louis where you get quirky bounces. There's no Boston Garden where the rink's 180 feet. So I think basketball ever so slightly.
Don't tell the Celtics that. Lately, they've been losing game sevens at home. But just wanted to point that out. And keep it in mind with baseball. I'm telling you, whoever ends up with the best record in baseball this year, do not pick them to win the World Series. In fact, don't even pick them to get to the World Series.
Well, that's why that sport's going to change their playoff format quickly.
You think so?
I think they're adding teams that they don't like that time. I mean, come on. There's nobody in baseball that thinks that the time off is useful for the top seeds.
You mean they don't want the Arizona Diamondbacks making a wild card run to the World Series? Is that what you're saying?
Add more teams. Sometimes that's what you get.
You're right, though. They're going to add two. When they add two teams and go to 32, they're going to add an extra round of the playoffs, and they're going to increase the number of playoff games you have to win.
It's the only way they can get more revenue. And it's the only thing that the networks are even remotely interested in that sport, David.
And in theory, more games gives the better teams more of an opportunity to win. Miller and Moulton. So, Lightning, Panthers. We'll begin previewing that series from the Lightning point of view in 25 minutes. Heat facing an elimination game tonight. A little over an hour from now. We'll discuss, are the Heat done with no Jimmy Butler? And Pat Kerwin, as we continue to preview the NFL draft in 45 minutes. The play of the day is next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. We have sent an APB out for Trent Bally. He was the producer of our show. He has not been seen nor heard from so far today, four segments into the show. Mark, has he arrived?
He has. I think I scared him this morning. I think I scared him because I was actually upset this morning. Trent was a bit late. And David, you know me. You know how upset I used to get. Trent saw a one on a scale of 1 to 10 of anger. I'm like, come on, man. You're late. We got to go. Because the computer, if Trent's not here when I'm here, I have to log in. They won't give me a login. The place that we work. They refuse to let me have my own login. They give me a key to the building, but I can't log onto a computer.
Right. But they'll do anything, by the way, to help our show.
Right. So Trent has a login, and we have to use his. And usually he's able to get the authentication on his phone, and he can do it while he's driving in. But for whatever reason, this morning, the first two times I tried to log onto the computer, it didn't work. And if you do it too many times and it doesn't work, we're locked out. And it was at the time of the morning where being locked out may have prevented us from getting on the air. So I immediately stopped doing anything until he was in the building. And I was pacing the hallway.
Oh, like a caged tiger.
Walking outside.
David, Mark opened the door for me. And you know how the door is here. It's not, it's, you can't see out of it, you know.
That was the fourth time I'd been outside, Trent.
I mean, look, I'll stick my hand. I was late.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to own up to it.
No, we know.
You know, if you're walking in the door at a certain time, I mean, there is no owning up to it.
So I think Trent was nervous because he knew that I had a little hostility, even though I don't think I let any of it out. I think I kept it.
You called me. I was late. You were like, hey, come on, get your in here.
Were you gentle in the face?
I don't know if I was gentle. I'm very rarely gentle in the face, David.
He was gentle enough. I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, you're still alive. I've known Mark long enough. There was a time in which you wouldn't be working the show right now. So, okay.
Guilty as charged.
So, and listen, this is coming from me because trust me, there was a time, and if I was still there, you wouldn't be working the show right now either. So, all right. Good. But it's just that, you know, we did four segments. We chimed in there about home court, home ice. Okay. And sure enough, the only reason I knew that Trent is part of the show today, the Detroit Lions jerseys came up, and all of a sudden this voice appeared. It's like, I'll be damned.
Man, the Lions hit a home run. Those jerseys.
Shut up.
They look great.
You know, let me just explain something to you about your beloved Lions, of what they've done, and that they have completely conned you. No, 100%.
How so?
They've had their first good season in my lifetime.
No,
basically.
Come on. They went to the NFC title game in 91.
Whatever.
They went 12 games in the regular season, and they embarrassed the Cowboys. You got to give them credit for that.
Okay, right. How about in my lifetime?
But one of the few good seasons in the 54 years that I've been on this planet. Trent, let me ask you this. Last year, you were a Detroit Lions season ticket holder. Do you still consider yourself a Detroit Lions season ticket holder?
Yeah.
So yes. You're responsible for 100% of those tickets now?
I mean, not exactly.
No. No. Why? Why?
Because prices went up.
So after the best season of your lifetime, they jacked the prices through the roof. Through the damn roof. And then on top of it, while they've already got their fans over a barrel and they have no choice but to pay these exorbitant prices that they've never had to pay before, after one good year.
New uniforms,
so everybody's got to buy a new jersey, too.
And I'm going to.
What a sucker.
Sucker.
Tattoo it on my forehead. Grit. One pride.
And I really hope for your sake, for all the Lions fans out there, I really hope that they're able to continue what looks to be a run of a few years of being a good franchise. I hope it lasts for a long time for you. But there have been a lot of teams that have had that one year and then gone right back to where they've been.
Well, I'm just saying, those new uniforms are going to look really good with all the confetti raining down in a few months.
They plan on having confetti at a preseason game?
Listen, I'll tell you, you know when they should ring confetti? How about start winning on Thanksgiving again? You know, when you guys were bad, at least you won on Thanksgiving.
That's a farce, that too. They never really did. They never really did. Everywhere, tough on Thanksgiving. No, they just play on Thanksgiving every year. They win occasionally.
Well, first off, we actually watched them on Thanksgiving around the rest of the country. So it was the first time and only time we saw them all year. And I don't know. It seemed as if they won a little bit more on Thanksgiving than they otherwise did. Plus, they had a few big wins in their history. You know, the Packers had a great team one year. They lost one game. It was to the Lions on Thanksgiving, you know, that sort of deal. But I do need to point out here, Trent missed Monday's show because of, you know, the whole flight thing. Right. And then two of the other four shows, he's been late.
Not my best week.
It's had a hell of a week. And the NBA playoffs, like, haven't really started yet. I mean, in theory, this is probably the best Trent we're going to get for the next 2 months.
No, I'll be better. I'll be better.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Can you be worse?
Yeah, no, you have my word.
I mean, you're like Tyler Hero against the Sixers right now, okay?
But you keep shooting.
Right.
Yep. Take your time, by the way, on that last three. You got plenty of time.
Might as well get to it. Hey, how about you take your segment back, Trent? Time now for our Molly Maid play of the day. What do you have for us, Trent?
The LA Kings wrapped up their season last night. They got a win in overtime 6 seconds into the overtime period. It was kind of bizarre. Here's how it sounded.
And off the draw, Kempe quickly moves in. Kempe shoots and scores! That's the way to end the regular season. Overtime goal, Adrian Kempe. 6 seconds in. Kings win it 5-4.
Pretty remarkable. Quick on the draw, the LA Kings. That's all I got for you. I don't know.
Well, that goal was significant. It changed who their first-round playoff opponent was going to be. If they had lost in overtime, you know, they would have had a different opponent. But instead, by winning, they get a rematch with Edmonton.
I want everybody to remember what that sounded like. Because I can guarantee you, every overtime goal that we play for the next 2 months is going to have a lot more oomph than that one had. That was like, hey, great. End of the, what a way to end of the regular season. Hey,
that one was, and we're having pie after dinner. Yay.
That one was like, thank God the regular season's over. Let's just get on with the playoffs. That's how that felt.
Well, and your enthusiasm going into it also was kind of the same way, too. Hey, is there corn or string beans with that? All right, good.
I'll take the corn. 239-774-5839. If you've got corn on your floor and need it picked up, Molly Maid can do that and much more for your home. Call them today, 239-774-5839. Be sure to tell them that Miller and Moulton sent you.
So you're going to buy a new Lions jersey?
Of course.
What? All right. What jersey are you going to buy?
I'm going to get number 6 with T-Bal on the back. That's my nickname. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? That's what I'm doing. I get my name on it. I think that's a little more acceptable by Miller and Moulton standards.
This is his last year by our rules that he can wear these, right?
I've broken down. I have completely broken down. I've given up on the jersey rules.
What?
I can't fight the fight anymore. There are too many other fights I would rather fight.
We're Clint Eastwood on the front porch. Come on, Mark. No. Say it ain't so.
They've broken me down, David. I'm broken.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes before the hour, Pat Kerwin to talk all things NFL at the top of the hour. Alejandro Solana, part of the Heat Radio Network. Heat facing elimination tonight. It's the same thing as last year. Beat the Bulls at home or you're done. And Gavin Brindley, who made his NHL debut, a Florida kid born and raised and played in the league this year. He will join us coming up at the top of our bonus hour. But Henry Yoho is kind enough to join us right now. He covers the Lightning for FanSided's Bolts by the Bay. It's boltsbythebay.com. You can follow that at Bolts by the Bay. You can follow Henry at Henry Yoho, Yoho. Henry, David, and Mark, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, are you kidding? We got the Lightning and the Panthers in the first round. We are jacked. How do the Lightning, they finished great. They made some deals. They're as healthy as they've been all year, especially once they get Sergachev back. How do they match up, Henry?
I know. It's a really exciting matchup for sure, especially when it was a little bit unexpected a few weeks ago. But as far as the matchup goes, you know, I think the I think most people would probably agree that the Panthers have probably been the best team, you know, in the NHL probably all season long, even though they didn't end up with the best record. But as far as the Lightning go, I think that they'll take this matchup with the Panthers, you know, because they've had a lot of success against them over the years, especially in playoffs. The Panthers team identity has changed a bit since the last time that they've played in playoffs, and I think that the Lightning feel good about where they're at. You know, last time they played in the regular season, Lightning ended up winning pretty comfortably. And, you know, they're very familiar with this opponent. They know what they're up against. And, you know, I think that on paper, the Florida roster is better, but as far as the Lightning go with their big stars and the big guy in net, I think that they'll be comfortable with where they're at because, the star power, up front, maybe, favors the Lightning just a little bit, but on paper, I think that you gotta probably like the way the Panthers are sitting with probably what's been the best roster all season long.
Well, and the one thing about that roster, that Barkov line's so tough and their defense pretty good. Do you worry about the physicality that Florida can bring to the series? Tampa changed the way Florida, when you said they changed the makeup of the team, they changed the makeup of their team because of the Tampa Bay Lightning and became a tougher, grittier team. Do you worry about 5-on-5 against the Panthers because of the physicality that they bring to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, the Panthers really changed their identity because after getting knocked out in playoffs and back-to-back years by the Lightning, you know, the Lightning kind of bullied them and pushed them around. And even at that point, the Panthers teams could still play pretty rough. But they doubled down on that, you know, by moving out Jonathan Huberdeau and then bringing in Matthew Tkachuk to change, you know, the way that they play, especially physically. And, you know, the Panthers play such a tough game, and whoever comes out of this series is going to have a huge chunk taken out of them. And I think that the 5-on-5 play is concerning because the Panthers, I believe, have allowed the least amount of goals, you know, at 5-on-5 throughout the season. The Lightning have not been a absolutely great defensive team compared to what they've been in the past. They can still score at a pretty high level. They get a lot on the power play. But I think the 5-on-5 play definitely does favor the Panthers. And in the way that they play physically, it's definitely intimidating. They're rough against everybody. And the Lightning don't have that identity as much as they have in past years.
Henry Yoho, we're talking the Lightning. Bolts by the Bay is fan-sided site that covers the Lightning. You can follow that site at Bolts by the Bay. You can follow Henry at Henry Yoho, Y-O-H-O. Are the Lightning deep enough? You know, the teams, obviously, that went to the three straight finals, they were plenty deep on the back line, and they had at least three quality lines. The Lightning, especially midseason, looked as if they were about a line and a half and two defensemen. By the end of the year, Henry, I feel they've got two really solid lines and four defensemen. Are they deep enough?
Yep, that's the biggest question. That's been the biggest thing all year is that this team is not as deep as they used to be, especially on the back end. Like you mentioned, the scoring up front, the forward line's been pretty top-heavy. Nikita Kucherov accounting for almost 50% of the team's goals, factoring in on the scoring. The team's been very top-heavy scoring-wise, definitely not as deep as in past years. And that's going to be the big question is if somebody's going to be able to step up from down the lineup. This Lightning team is not as deep as the Panthers are rolling right now. And that's going to be the biggest question is if anyone's going to be able to step up from down the lineup. And there's no question that this Lightning team is not quite what we've seen in the past. But like I mentioned before, when you've got the stars that they do up front, and if those stars are able to get going, they're always going to have a chance because they can score at such a high level and can maybe outscore some of the problems they might have further down in the lineup. It's obviously not the recipe that you necessarily want going into playoffs. You want to have all four lines rolling. And if they're able to get some production from the bottom of the lineup, you have to like where they're at.
Tampa's going to need Vasilevskiy to steal at least a game, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The goaltending matchup's, you know, a good one because Bobrovsky at the other end, you know, he's had his moments of being a hot and cold goalie, especially in playoffs. Last year he was a hot one, bringing the Panthers all the way to the final with the way he was playing. And Vasilevskiy, after missing the you know, the first quarter or so of this season, came back and it was nothing special. He was human for a lot of the rest of the year coming in. But you did see flashes of the greatness that you've come to expect from him over the years. It just wasn't there, you know, consistently every single night. His numbers were pretty average for the most part over the regular season for his standard. But like I said, you did see the flashes. You did see the moments, the great games here and there. And he's able to get that over a seven-game series, maybe steal this team a game or two, especially on the road early in the series. It could go a long way towards the momentum that the Lightning have going forward.
Henry, does this feel like the end? Like much like the Warriors just experienced earlier in the week, you know, the Lightning went to the finals in 2015. This is 10 years now. This is an amazing run that the Lightning have had with, like, what, six or seven trips to the conference final, four trips to the finals, hoisted it twice. Does this feel like the end of this core group's run?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's obviously much closer to the end than it is the beginning. You know, the writing did feel a little bit like it was on the wall this regular season with so many struggles in the first half. Team wasn't really getting going. The guys are getting older. The depth unable to hang around like they could in the past due to the salary cap, couldn't keep so many great pieces. You do wonder how many runs this group still has in it. But a lot of the core guys, like Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, you know, they're a little bit fresher, you know, than Stammer and Hedman. And so, you know, if they're leading the charge, I think that they're still going to have some more runs in them. But, you know, with Stamkos and Hedman kind of getting up there in years, you kind of wonder how many runs that these guys have left in them, especially with Stamkos being a free agent at the end of the season. It's a little bit of uncertainty as far as the where things go with the captain. And, you definitely do have to wonder how many runs these guys have left, and you kind of have to appreciate it and, you know, realize that there's not going to be a whole lot more left in the tank for these guys because they've given everything they've gotten. And it's going to be sad whenever the day does come that they're no longer going to be in contention. But for right now, they're still a pretty dangerous threat in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, Kucherov coming off the season that he's had, it's been almost shocking to the two of us that it seems that he's not getting a sniff for the MVP. I mean, yeah, Tampa's putting some stuff out, but league-wide, you don't hear his name. When people, it's McKinnon, it's McDavid. Yeah. How surprised are you that Kucherov's not getting the MVP hype that we think he should be?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It is kind of strange that, you know, you can almost, for a player of his caliber, you can almost still call him underrated because he's not getting, you know, the recognition league-wide because you hear so much about, like you said, McDavid, McKinnon, Austin Matthews as well. You know, these guys are kind of dictating the conversation. And Kucherov's season's been unbelievable. It's been one of the great seasons in recent NHL history. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe part of it, you know, comes down to likability, marketability. You know, you don't hear a whole lot from Kucherov as far as talking to the media. And whenever you do hear from him, a lot of people don't care for what he has to say. A lot of people were rubbed the wrong way by what he did at the NHL All-Star Weekend, kind of dogging it in the skills competition, being in Toronto too, all the attention's on him. And a lot of people didn't really care for the way he behaved there, so I feel like a lot of people were kind of writing him off and dismissing him as a potential Hart Trophy winner because a lot of people didn't really care for his antics and aren't going to want to vote for him. But yeah, it is kind of strange that he's not in the conversation more because what we've seen this season has been nothing sort of special. It's been one of the great NHL seasons in recent memory. Recent 100 assists the other night, just the fifth player to do so with the first ever winger. It's been really impressive. It's a shame that he's been so dismissed on the national stage and that you know, McDavid and McKinnon get more of the recognition. But, you know, they've had awesome seasons of their own right. And as far as the MVP vote is concerned, you know, you really can't go wrong with any of the handful of candidates that are going to be up for the award.
Yeah, there are six guys who, if they get MVP votes, you can certainly understand. Finally, quickly, what's the status of Sergachev?
Yeah, Sergachev, it doesn't seem like we're going to be seeing him real soon. You know, they've been teasing us a little bit the last few weeks, saying that he's been on the ice. We've seen him in the red no-contact jersey, which is a promising sight. But at the moment, I'd say it's unlikely we're going to see him in this series, and it might take maybe a series win or two to see him down the road. But even saying that, you know, it gives a lot of hope for for the Lightning to be able to see him down the road, because whenever a little over two months ago now, whenever we saw him go down, it looked like we probably wouldn't be seeing him again this season. And I think the progress is promising for the Lightning, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. Seeing him back on the ice does definitely count for something. But as far as seeing him this round, I think it's highly unlikely, and it's going to have to take a series win or two to see him maybe get back in the lineup down the road.
Bolts by the Bay is the fan-sided site, boltsbythebay.com. Follow it on X at Bolts by the Bay. You can follow Henry Yoho, who's in charge of it and covers the Lightning, at Bolts by the Bay, at Henry Yoho, Y-O-H-O. Henry, thanks for your time. Enjoy the series.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys. You do the same.
I will say, Mark, and it surprised me because I agree with your assessment about Kucherov's MVP chances. And he nearly had a 50-goal season, and he had a 100-assist season. I mean, it's remarkable. But I was listening to NHL Network Radio yesterday afternoon, going to pick up my granddaughter. Make as many jokes as you want. All right. But they had a little panel on, and they were talking the Hart Trophy. Two of the three guys on the panel voted for Kucherov.
Really?
I almost wrecked the car. Yeah.
Because I happened to be watching an NHL show on TV yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the jokes about me that you want to make.
Look at the two of us goobers.
And nobody was picking Kucherov. It was all MacKinnon.
Now, I mean, you do have to say, there are I think, five legitimate votes. Panarin, because he's in New York, may get a few third-place votes or what have you. But I do think there are five guys. Crosby had a great year. Nobody's going to give him a first-place vote. I think he was the best two-way player in the game this year. I really do. But McDavid, MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, and Kucherov. I mean, if any of those four guys get a first-place vote, I don't know if you can yell at the person who's given
no.
a first-place vote.
No, I don't think you can either. I've just found it, and I'm happy to hear that some NHL panel people were picking Kucherov, because there's been no, to me, national love for Kucherov, despite the season he's had. And what's had has come late.
And I get the whole, you know, well, can you really give a guy an MVP vote on a wild card team? Yeah, if it wasn't for Kucherov the first 50-plus games of the season, all right, they would have been the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, seriously, I thought for 50 games, him and Braden Point carried the whole damn team.
And they're going to have to continue to carry them. Their power play is going to have to be sensational. I mean, they have to win the special teams battle in a major way, to me, to win this series.
Well, could the whistle then determine this series? How? Because Florida has to. They've gotten chippy against the Lightning. They've put themselves in the box the last two times they met them in the playoffs, and they can't do that.
No, they've got to establish their forecheck, but continue to play disciplined hockey. You can hit and play disciplined. That's what Florida has to do. I like Florida in the series.
I do too. In seven, our poll question, by the way: Heat, Magic, Lightning, Panthers. Which of the four teams goes deepest in the playoffs? Vote accordingly. Pat Kerwin, NFL Talk next.